Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Mark Zeno in for Mike, who's on vacation. Let's talk to Brett McMurphy, one of my favorite guys to speak with when it comes to college football. Knows his stuff, and it's always good to talk with you, Brett. Action Network HQ, America's Football Insider. I want to start with the Dogs, obviously, in Clemson. Dabo Swinney did not go in the transfer portal. I was still upset about what we heard yesterday about him not taking calls on his coach's show. But, Brett, that's a whole other situation. Tell me what you think about this Dog and Tiger game that's going to happen on Saturday here in Atlanta.
You know, obviously Georgia's the favorite, a little less than 2 touchdowns. I think a lot of people are expecting some suspensions on the Georgia side. That's probably why that dropped off of 14 down to 13.5 or 13. You know, this is a huge game for Clemson. You know, last year they lost 4 games and basically everyone in Clemson acted like the sky. They won 9 games and it was the biggest disaster they had in 7 or 8 seasons. And it's actually a compliment. That's how well Dabo has done there. But you look a little bit closer at those losses, they actually outgained their opponents in 3 of those 4 losses, but they were killed by turnovers. Turnovers in the red zone, short missed field goals. So they probably were much better than a 9-4 team, maybe 10, 11, 12 wins. Certainly Georgia's got more talent. They're the better team. You know, the Georgia should win, but I think, you know, Dabo's going to, you know, I'm sure he's reminded them. I saw the stat. I forgot the exact number, but I think preseason AP number one teams have won their last 20 or 30 season openers, if you have to go back that far. And then before that, ironically, you had a stretch of 10 years where preseason number one teams were only 5-5 over a 10-year stretch. So, I'm sure Dabo is using that as motivation. Nobody's given us a chance, et cetera. You mentioned the transfer portal. I think one thing that's fascinating, we'll have to see how the season plays out. You know, you can criticize Dabo for not using the transfer portal, but on the flip side, he's given a message to his team that, you guys, I don't need the transfer portal. I like what I have on campus right now or through recruiting. You know, how will the end result be with that? You know, I'm not sure, but I certainly think Georgia will win this game. I think probably, you know, depending on, again, how many suspensions there are going to be, probably will determine if this thing is a nail biter into the fourth quarter or Georgia, you know, runs away comfortably.
Brett, we spent a lot of time yesterday celebrating the Georgia Tech win over Florida State. I'm curious your reaction to both those teams. A little early maybe to move the goalposts for Georgia Tech. Is it too early to push the panic button for Florida State? Where do you sit on both?
I don't know necessarily about the panic button for Florida State, but all I know is everything I heard all offseason, and I talked to Mike Norvell, and he's usually one that he's usually pretty straight with you. And he, a couple of things that he told me that actually did not pan out is that this is the best offensive line he's had since he's been at Florida State. He thought this is the deepest running back room he's had at Florida State. Even though they lost some key guys on defense, they still had more players that actually played more plays overall than the guys they lost, but they didn't, quote, have the start, same number of starts. And all I saw was a Georgia Tech team that dominated this game. You take out the first series, I think Florida State averaged 9-10 yards per carry in that first series. The rest of the game, Georgia Tech held them to 1 or 2 yards per carry. I mean, that was remarkable. That is not a fluke. And is it time to hit the panic button for Florida State? Not necessarily, but, you know, they've got a tricky game with Boston College, and they face a quarterback that's probably more elusive than Haynes King, as well as Haynes did. Still, I think Florida State should handle BC, but, oh, my gosh, if they lose that game, the sky will be falling there. And for Georgia Tech, just an incredible win. Surprised a lot of people. I think I thought Brent totally outcoached Norvell. the way he controlled the game in the second half. You know, I'm sure you guys have talked ad nauseum about how Georgia Tech controlled the ball. Maybe two possessions the last 22 minutes of the game. They never gave up the football. They scored. And now you look at Georgia Tech, you know, I mean, anything's possible. You look, again, you don't want to look ahead, but, of course, that's what everybody loves to do. They should be 4-0 going at Louisville, which will be a tricky one, but certainly not a game they can't win. And if they get past that, you're looking at 5-0. You know, a tough game with North Carolina, but you could go into that Notre Dame game, you know, 6-1, 5-2. And, you know, then obviously the back end of the schedule, much more difficult. Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, Miami, NC State, Georgia. There's no slouches there, but certainly it looks like with that win over Florida State, I think Georgia Tech can stockpile enough wins. I know they have bigger aspirations than getting bowl eligible again, but they should be able to take care of that, you know, at the midway point of the season. And then I think they're playing with house money, and we can see what happens. If people figure them out, or if they legit can play keep away with some of these other bigger names.
Brett McMurphy joining us, guys, here on Dukes and Bell, talking college football. I'm looking towards the weekend, and I think it's a dangerous spot for Penn State to have to play at West Virginia to start the season. I know they're favored on the road, but that's just a tough place to start. I'm curious to know what you think about that. And then what game are you looking forward to? Because I also look at the Texas A&M Notre Dame game as one of those games that could change one of their seasons, specifically Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think, you know, Penn State, you know, the score last year of Penn State West Virginia is kind of misleading. Penn State scored in the final minute, which a lot of people may or may not remember. It was significant to some, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, going into Morgantown, lucky for Penn State, this thing is not a night game. I've been there for a night game, and it's as rowdy of an atmosphere of any place I've been. I'd rate it up there with LSU at night. But yeah, this is going to be a tricky game. And for people not familiar with West Virginia, Garrett Green, one of the more underrated quarterbacks, I think, in the Big 12. And West Virginia can really make a huge statement here. Everybody thinks Penn State, when you look at their schedule, including me, I've got them penciled in as an at-large team in the playoff because they don't have Michigan this year. They only have Ohio State. We know Franklin's issues with Ohio State and Michigan. So if they get past West Virginia, they should be clear sailing to 10, no less than 10 wins. But, guys, West Virginia last year picked last in the Big 12, and all Neil Brown did was win 9 games. They still feel disrespected.
Yep.
This will be a huge game. I agree with you on Notre Dame and Texas A&M. I love this game. That game and Florida-Miami are going to be my two favorite ones to watch. And you look at Notre Dame, and again, offensive lines don't get a lot of headlines. They had a lot of injuries in the preseason. Notre Dame will be starting a true freshman left tackle and a redshirt freshman at left guard. So basically your blind side is starting freshmen. And you're going against an A&M team that's always been known for its defense. Now you bring in Mike Elko, who's known specifically for his defense, who, oh, by the way, used to coach at Notre Dame. And I think this is a huge, huge game for the Aggies. There's a reason that this has moved from Notre Dame, I think, as a one-point favorite to A&M as a three-point favorite. I think A&M can pull off the upset. I think there's a new attitude in College Station. Mm. Things didn't go especially well with Jimbo Fisher, and for whatever reason it didn't. And if Texas A&M can stay healthy at the quarterback position, which it's game one, so they should be healthy, I think Texas A&M can win this game, especially with the injuries that Notre Dame has and going into just a crazy, crazy atmosphere. And then real quickly with Miami and Florida, the loser of this game, their fan bases, you know, send them to the insane asylum because they are going to go bat crazy, if you know what I mean. Miami thinks they can win the ACC. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on that. We'll see if I'm wrong or not. They could lose out of the gate. And if Florida loses this game, we already know Florida's scheduled the rest of the way. The drum beats even louder for those that think Billy Napier should not be in Gainesville.
He's Brett McMurphy, the Action Network, joining us here on Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 99 The Game. Deion Sanders banning a reporter from asking questions. It seems almost childish and silly and more distractions for Colorado? Like, is this a thing that, you know, needs to even happen for Deion? Just go out there and win games instead?
I want to correct you on something. You didn't need to use the word almost childish.
Oh, okay.
I literally was going to say this is like a third grader.
Okay.
I mean, give me a break. This guy, I'm kidding, of course, but no, it is childish. I mean, this guy played in a Super Bowl. He's been in the World Series. He's one of the most recognizable people on the face of the earth. And he's worried about what a columnist at the Denver Post said. He did this at Big 12 Media Days. You go into your individual interview rooms with different media partners. CBS was there. They are affiliated, I believe, with 247 Sports. I believe that's right. If not, they're associated with one of the recruiting services. Well, whoever the recruiting service was had written something negative about Colorado. So when Deion realized that CBS was affiliated with that recruiting service, he got up and left the interview. I mean, give me a break, guys. It's reporter's job, and I've talked to journalism classes in college in the past. And believe it or not, they asked me. I don't know why. But one of the main things I said is our job is to report, not support. You report the good, the bad, the ugly. And, yeah, Deion is totally flipped out. He's made this a bigger thing than it ever should have been. Is it a distraction to the players? I don't believe so. If anything, Deion will use it to rally. Everybody hates this. Everybody's disrespecting this. Yada, yada, yada. Bottom line, they won four games last year. They received the media attention of a team that went 14-0, but they only won four games. This year, I don't think they get to six wins. I don't think they get to a bowl game. Even though they've got the portal to add players, I think their offensive line is still weak. Obviously, ton of skill with Travis Hunter and Sanders, the quarterback. But, yeah, Deion, this is a bad, bad look for Deion. But, you know, it's kind of his M.O. If you kind of look at his history since he's been a head coach at Jackson State and now Colorado, and basically he's running the show at Colorado and nobody can hold him accountable. Hey, that's great if you go win the Big 12, but if you roll out another 5-7, people are going to get tired of that act really, really quick.
No doubt. You said you watched the Connor Stallions Netflix show Sign Stealer. Is it worth it?
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm sure anyone that's listening that's a college football fan has already seen most of this. But it's fascinating to kind of hear him discuss how he got to this point. He pretty much self-taught himself how to steal signs, which was very, very impressive. One thing that kind of stood out to me, I know there's a lot of video from the Netflix special, is he mentions that Jim Harbaugh gave him the game ball after the 2022 win against Iowa and told him not, quote, don't get a big head. Yet Harbaugh says he has no idea what Stallions was doing and he had no knowledge of it.
Yeah.
So why in the hell is he getting a game ball? I don't know. It was funny they asked him and what also was great, you get to see the NCAA investigate him. His attorney videoed the interview session. They asked him, were you at the Central Michigan-Michigan State game where there's photos of him wearing sunglasses and he's got a goatee and a hat on? And he goes, I don't recall being there, no. And the NCAA investigator said, so are you saying you are not at the Central Michigan-Michigan State game? And his attorney interrupted and said he's already answered the question. It's obvious he was lying. Dave Portnoy is quoted on the documentary saying that Stallions admitted to him that he was at that game. But again, it's not going to, you know, if you think Michigan should be banned for the next 20 years, it's not going to change your opinion. And if you think Michigan did not do anything wrong, it's not going to change your opinion. But it's not, you know, it's not bad. It's 90 minutes. If you got 90 minutes to spare, it's not bad, but it kind of shows, pulls some curtains back on kind of how he got to this thing about sign stealing. And it also makes it very clear, this is not the only school that does it. Literally every school in the country does it. There's a network of these guys that actually trade information on Sunday mornings.
Wow. All right. You said you like Miami in that game against Florida, or do you like Florida?
I don't. it's too close. I don't have an opinion. I'm just saying I picked Miami to win the ACC.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If they lose to Florida, they're not winning the ACC, even though it's not a conference game. I'm worried about – I'm skeptical of Mario Cristobal's late game management. I'm sure, bring up good memories for Tech fans.
Yep.
And also, he did the same thing at Oregon against Stanford. And look, if you want to look at talent, Florida's a power rated a top 25 team. The only reason they're not ranked in the top 25 is because their schedule is impossible. So, for my own personal making me look smart for once, I'd appreciate it if Miami would win, but I certainly do not think it's a cakewalk. I think this goes out of the fourth quarter. This is a very, very desperate Florida team.
Brett, just as an FYI, Florida's 41-1-2 straight up in home opener since 1980.
Well, I want to counter that with, of those 44 games, probably 39 of them were against
completely useless
the school
teams.
Of the deaf and blind.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.